All right. Well, let's get started. And I'm telling you, this lecture is a hodgepodge. It just goes from one thing right after another. So if you have a question, just hold it, and we'll try to do this at the end. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for these ladies. What a joy to see so many ladies who have a heart for you and a heart to minister to others. And I just pray that this will be helpful for them, and that you will help them with their counselees to be able to get to the heart of the matter in a timely way, and to help these ladies that are struggling and hurting. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Four things that really surprised me when I began to do biblical counseling. I started out as a NANC counselor working with Lou Priolo at the Atlanta Biblical Counseling Center. He was full-time there. He was the director, and I was 2 or 3 days a week there. And I just worked with ladies, and sometimes I would work with him with couples. But there's only just so many sins out there and so many problems out there, and so you begin to see things over and over again. One of the things that really surprised me was that some people are lazy. Now, you would think I would have known that, but it would not matter what their problem was. If they were lazy, they would not make progress, and they would not do their homework. But they would have more excuses than anybody there, and so I had to learn, if that was the problem, to make that my first agenda item, or as soon as I discerned it. And then I had to learn to just, if they don't do their homework, then I would say, all right, let's reschedule. But if they didn't do their homework the next week, then I would say, unless something catastrophic, and I do have some mercy there, but then I would just say, well, when you do your homework, then call and make an appointment. And then I usually don't ever hear from them again. Or maybe 6 months later when they're hurting so badly there. But that's how I do it. And I warn them. I'll say, please do your homework. It's really difficult because when I tell you this, I'm afraid I'll never see you again. So counselees that are lazy, they really struggle with making progress in any area. And then number two, wives whose husbands won't have sex with them. That really surprised me, how many are out there. And it just never occurred to me that that would be a problem. So that is something that you have to help wives with. And it is a sin if the husband won't do that, so you deal with that way. And number three, how upset I got when someone lied to me and I found out about it. I mean, I really got upset. It's like you come to me for counseling, I'm going to give you counsel based on what you tell me. And if you lie to me, then I'm not giving you the right counsel. Anyway, I got so upset and I went and told Lou, and I said, I can't believe this lady, she lied to me. He looked at me and he said, Martha, people lie. So you need to calm down and forgive her and work with her. So anyway, and then number four, it surprised me how many women in my area, the Southeast, think they're Christians and they're not. They're everybody. There's born again. Everybody there's walked down an aisle and cried and prayed a prayer. So they may be Christians, but they might not be. So that has surprised me. Now, I'll give you a little background on my history with nouthetic counseling. I told the ladies this morning I never wanted to be a counselor, but my husband talked me into trying it, and that was after Lou Priolo, behind my back, went to him and said, make it a submission issue. And he did. So I worked with Lou. Howard Eirich was my supervisor, and back then there were no CDs or anything. You had to tape your sessions, and anyway, it was a process, but I got certified in 1989. I worked part-time with Lou for 8 years at the Atlanta Biblical Counseling Center. During that time, I developed the material on The Excellent Wife and taught it in a Sunday school class. And toward the end of that time is when I, with a lot of help, wrote The Excellent Wife book. For several years after Lou left Atlanta, I just, as a volunteer counselor, counseled in my home around my kitchen table. Sometimes ladies would be there. They were in training. And it was nice. I had this big rooster. I would have to move the rooster off the table so we could see each other and get the Kleenex box out and put the coffee on. And so I did that for a long time. I counseled every other week, and I think it was on a Thursday, and it was all day long. Then our church, Faith Bible Church, started a biblical counseling outreach ministry. David Birch came to our church. He's on staff now, and he's the director of that ministry. And now I go to the church on Mondays to do counseling. And I really like that, because we have a church secretary, and she makes all the appointments. And she just, every Sunday, she gives me my schedule and tells me where I'm supposed to be and what I'm supposed to do. And I can remember years ago, Lou telling me that after you counsel for a while, you begin to see patterns within the struggles that people have. And once you see that, it makes it easier for you to ask questions and get right to the matter quickly, give them hope, and then teach them what they need to know. And then you get a feel for when they're going to struggle, maybe, and you can sort of preempt some of that, hopefully. So tonight, I want to give you some tips from my experience. Most of them I learned or adapted from Lou's teaching, or Jay Adams and Wayne Mack. Those are kind of my heroes there. I want to start looking at the big picture and then go tell you a little bit about correcting faulty theology. That is a huge thing. And then share with you the different illustrations and models that I typically use when I'm teaching and giving hope. And then I do want to end a little bit with the data gathering questions. Now, for those of you that are seasoned counselors, I don't really think I'm going to teach you anything new. You may even have devised better models or a better way. I'm going to try to teach you something, but I can't guarantee. All right, Roman numeral number 2. You need to think in terms of the big picture and keep painting the big picture for your counselee. I'm not a big picture person, and big picture people annoy me sometimes, but I like just the details, you know. But, and the Bible has a big picture, and one of those things is the gospel for the unsaved. I use my salvation worksheets. You are welcome to get them. They're free. If you contact me, I will email them to you. Or there's a little salvation handbook. You may have seen it. It's the salvation worksheets. It's got a little lamb on it. I wrote those worksheets for my mother and daddy. And a long time ago, neither one were saved. And I called them and said, if I do a Bible study for you, but you would have to look up the answers yourself, and then I would come by and we would go over them, will you do it? And they said, yes. And I'm like, yes, you will do this? So I did that. And the first week, the phone rang, and my daddy's sister had called and asked Mother what they were doing, and Mother told her, and she said, well, can I come? And Mother asked me if she could come, and I said, sure. So my aunt and uncle started coming.